This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Folks, in response to a city of New Orleans request for qualifications, a developer has been chosen for the old Six Flags Jazzland site out in New Orleans East. And joining us on the line is the principal of Henry Consulting, Troy Henry, and Bayou Phoenix is what it's called. Troy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Noel. How are you?
First, let me say congratulations. This was a long, kind of drawn-out process, and I'm glad we finally got to an end where someone's chosen, and hopefully we'll see some forward momentum.
Yeah, it's been, unfortunately, a lot longer than anybody, I think, anticipated through the procurement and then contracting process. But we're looking forward now, so we're excited with the prospects of the project as a whole. So, yeah, we agree. We thought we'd be at this point about a year ago, but it's okay. We're looking forward to the future of our this wonderful project.
So there's a big meeting Monday, March 27th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. out at Franklin Avenue Baptist Church at 8282 I-10 Service Road. Finally, jeez.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, not so much. What would the folks anticipate hearing out there? I think this is kind of the first meeting since the selection where you get to reveal your thoughts, right?
It's actually a little more than just our thoughts. While we've been negotiating with the city on this development agreement and lease, we have actually spent a bunch of our own dollars to hire a whole series of experts to sort of validate the design and the concept that we've proposed and are going to be implementing. And so, what we'll have is, the attendees will have an opportunity to listen to those experts, explain the data behind the designs, the design itself, the actual master plan, the economic impact analysis. They'll get a chance to give their impressions and interactions. So it's more than just us revealing. We'll spend a lot of time talking and revealing our plans and designs, but we'll also make sure that there's a chance for us to get some immediate feedback. And so we're encouraging people to either attend in person or even online virtually, or it's going to be live broadcast on WBOK, as well as it's going to have a YouTube YouTube video. You can watch it in, you know, I'm not techies guy, so you can do it on YouTube for those that are YouTubers.
I'm right there with you, my brother, I can tell you. A lot of people don't realize how big this site is, right?
Yeah, it's a really big site. There's about 225 acres, of which when Jazzland was in existence, they only used about 40% of the total acreage in the deal that we have now. And so our plans are to develop a larger portion of it than Six Flags previously had there. But it's going to be a multi-tenanted venue. And most people have heard that it's going to be a youth sports complex, indoor and outdoor, with sports fields. We'll have a movie studio. We're talking to a number of movie studios right now, so they're sort of vying to be the operator of the studio there. A couple of hotels, a suite hotel, as well as a traditional hotel, about 400 rooms total. An indoor as well as outdoor water park, and then a family entertainment center, arcade kind of thing. And then a bunch of retail, about 100,000 square feet of between dining and novelty shops and retail shops of that sort, kind of comprise the development as a whole. So, you know, they're all different venues, so to speak, so that different folks will participate in it. So, yeah, we're excited about it. We think it's a clever design. Our experts who are world-renowned have also really, really ahead of the heels about what we're doing and the plans and the prospects for its success. So we're excited.
Having visited a number of sports complexes across the country, traveling with my kids, in fact, I think I've stayed in just about every Motel 6 there in existence, that's big business.
It draws
a lot of people, and a lot of people kind of craft their vacations around these competitive sports events.
Yeah, you're right. And in most cases, I mean, a lot of these venues are in the middle of nowhere with not a lot to do when they're not playing. In fact, my son is on the Nord Biddy basketball all-star team that they finished first on the Division A for Biddy basketball. But the championship games were in Thibodaux.
Yeah.
And the choices were Hampton Inn, nothing against Thibodaux, but it was a Hampton Inn and a Days Inn were the primary choices. So to be able to have a first-class sports venue here with hotels that we'll have on campus, plus hotels that go beyond, obviously, all the downtown hotels that we've got as well. New Orleans becomes a tremendous destination for youth sports and youths coming in and being able to participate in all of the amenities. We think it's a great combination, coupled with the attractiveness that New Orleans represents.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's kind of easy to get to and from, right, because you have access to all kinds of different highways, that 510, I-10.
That is correct, yeah. I mean, it's easy access, I mean, very highly visible, so if you're a traveler or a tourist, or you're one of the participants in one of the sports games, I mean, you can't miss it. You know, it's at I-10 and 510, and you ease in the Bayou Phoenix, and you'll be able to ease right back out. And if you want to go downtown, you can go downtown. If you want to just stay on the campus itself, it's self-contained, you'll have the ability to do that. No, your new business is going to be babysitting. You know that, right?
Cause
you got these parents that's going to say, well, let me slip down to downtown one night to hit Bourbon Street, but I need somebody to watch these little kids, you know. So get
absolutely. I mean, it's a force multiplier anytime that you can bring, you know, stuff in like this. Let me ask you, what do you see as your biggest impediment right now moving forward?
I think there, you know, we've got a challenge. One, some of our grounds have been reclaimed as wetlands. So we've got more dealings with the Corps than we probably originally anticipated to get those declassified for development. You know, this is a financing, although we've been bombarded with folks that want to finance the project from all different places because they've seen and heard of the attractiveness of it, making a good decision on how we structure the financing for the different venues, I wouldn't say is an impediment, but we got to just make the right decision as it relates to that. I think also picking the right partners is, we've had some tremendous conversations with operators of hotels, as well as water park, as well as sports complexes. But we got to make good decisions, you know what I mean? And so those are the things that we'll be focused on doing. And, you know, we're pretty confident that we're going to do the right thing, and we'll also have sort of the safety net to make sure that if things aren't working the way they should, we can make the adjustments that are needed.
Troy, how many we're visiting with Troy Henry from Henry Consulting and working they call Bayou Phoenix, the redevelopment of the Six Flags site. How many sports do you think y'all will be able to accommodate in the complex?
Oh, wow, I could pull it up, but it's a bunch. I mean, it's everything from the indoor sports facility it's got
volleyball, basketball,
basketball and
baseball,
and
soccer
sport
outside.
Yeah, baseball, soccer, lacrosse, football. There's some other sports that the consultant listed that I could probably pull it up, but there was some stuff I hadn't heard of before. you know, stuff that, you know, may not be popular in New Orleans, but around the country having a national tournament in indoor. Like, there's this one, like, that you remember?
Well, let me tell you something. You better have some pickleball courts out there, because that's almost become a cult.
I know. In fact, I was talking to my consultant, Norm Gill, out of Louisville, Kentucky, Pinnacle Sports, saying, man, how do we fit this pickleball into this? He's like, man, it's a cult. He called it a cult. They're crazies. And he said, but it's growing and booming. So I'm sure by the time we get the final design, we're going to have some pickleball courts there. You know, but I have no idea, you know, because our focus is youth sports. Under 15 and under, I don't know if the pickleball demand exists in that market as it does in the grown-up market. So we got to work through those details more.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not part of the design. No, pickleball is not.
Next steps after this public meeting on Monday.
So we've got our requirements to sign the lease. We've signed a development agreement. The next thing is to sign the actual lease. We've negotiated the lease already, but we have to sign the lease. And in order to do that, there were three requirements for us. One is to present the master plan to NORA, New Orleans Redevelopment Authority. Two is to present the economic impact analysis. Both of those two things are done, and we'll present those to the public on Monday. The third one was to have a public meeting where we solicit input from the public. So that'll happen on Monday. After that, I think NORA has a board meeting in early April where we're going to request that they, you know, allow the management team to sign the lease. And then now we can go and begin the development process, everything from the financing components to the technical analysis that has to go on to the working with the various tenants that we've got, that we've had preliminary discussions with. So those are kind of the principal things. And then there's some demolition work that we also have to plan on.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you and your team. I know y'all have been working long and hard on this project. I mean, you know, the East, as you well know, is prime for development. It's really the area that we need to leverage and exploit more than anything else, right, as we move forward in bringing services there. So I think there's a lot of excitement in and around this development. So congratulations.
Thank you very much, Noel. I appreciate it. Look forward to coming back and keeping you guys updated.
Absolutely. Would love it, and good luck to you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Well, folks, there was a lot of consternation in and around what the Fed Open Market Committee would do as it relates to interest rates. Well, it's done. And here to tell us about it is Greg McBride, Senior VP and Chief Analyst at Bankrate.com. Greg, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you again, Noel. Thanks for having me.
The speculation was all over the map, Greg. So what happened and why?
Yeah, you're right. There was a lot more mystery coming into this Fed meeting. You know, normally we know when and how much they're going to raise rates. I think yesterday was much more of a game-time decision. They did raise rates for the ninth consecutive time, raising rates by a quarter of a percentage point. It's the second meeting in a row that they've raised rates by a quarter percentage point. And you know, I think the feeling within the Fed was that the dust had settled enough in the past several days in terms of the banking sector that they were comfortable raising rates. You know, of course, that inflation's still running at 6%, hasn't come down as fast as had been hoped, and so that job's still far from done.
A lot of criticism, though, floating around in the aftermath of this decision from a bunch of different economic sectors.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't an obvious right answer. Whether they raised rates or didn't, both had pros and cons, and some of the drawbacks, I think, were fairly significant. I mean, the risk of them not raising interest rates, I think you could have done more to undermine confidence than actually raising rates, because you'd get a lot of people all of a sudden wondering, what is the Fed seeing that we don't? What do they know that we don't? But on the other hand, raising rates, there's definitely a risk in that too. I mean, if we do see a resurgence of issues in the banking sector, or just more broadly the functioning of markets and availability of credit, the Fed ends up with egg on their face and they could be forced to reverse course. It's too early to sound the all clear, but one thing's for sure is that inflation is still too high. So I think they didn't feel comfortable just sitting pat on that.
Greg, if you could, for the benefit of the listening audience, explain what the goals of the Fed are. You just mentioned credit contraction as one. And what does that lead to, and what are the others?
Well, they really have three different things that fall under the umbrella. One is regulatory in nature. The Federal Reserve is a regulator of many financial institutions. The second is monetary policy, which is what we always talk about, and that's the what we know as the Fed or the Federal Open Market Committee, and basically their mandate is consistent, low unemployment and stable prices to foster consistent economic growth. And then the third is kind of something that's come into play over the last couple of weeks is, as the central bank, they're the lender of last resort. So when liquidity starts to dry up, as was the case in banking, they are there to provide liquidity that banks need to meet withdrawal requests so that you don't have a broader systemic issue with bank runs.
So when you think about it, it almost sounds counterintuitive to a lot of folks, and I think that's what they have difficulty understanding, is they're trying to really reduce hiring, restrict economic activity, and contract credit. It's just kind of weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got one of the things that has fueled inflation is that there's this just demand and supply imbalance. And Fed can't address the supply side, but they can address the demand side. And so raising interest rates is like pressing the brake pedal on the economy. It reduces demand, which then reduces the fuel that has been pushing inflation higher. So as they raise interest rates, the cumulative effect of that mounts. We've seen inflation come down some, but not nearly enough. It has to go down a lot more. I think the other thing is that as a result of the unrest in the banking sector, it's widely expected that in and of itself is going to tighten credit and I think do some of the Fed's dirty work for them. So they may not have to raise rates as high as they were thinking simply because the credit is going to tighten as a result of rebuilding capital or not lending as much. So they may not have to raise rates much more, but we may find ourselves a lot further down the path of tighter credit and a slower economy as a result of that.
You know, a lot of angst and anxiety about what's going on in the banking community. You follow this a lot closer than I do. I was a little surprised. I think Chairman Powell kind of shot the Silicon Valley Bank right between the eyes. He came right out and I quote, "At a basic level, Silicon Valley Bank management failed badly." Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of concern that has spread as a result of that, but there's over 4,000 banks in the country. The vast majority of them are well-run. They're prudent risk takers. In an environment where interest rates have gone up at the fastest pace in 40 years, those that aren't are going to be exposed. And that's exactly what happened with Silicon Valley Bank. I mean, to be interest rates are to banking what the weather forecast is to a ski resort. So, you know, a bank getting caught off guard by higher interest rates, being completely ill-positioned for higher interest rates to the extent that it could bring down the whole bank. And it's like a ski resort that didn't realize a snowstorm was coming. So, yes, they did, you know, they took a lot of risk, didn't hedge against it, and I think even worse, the hedges that were in place, once they expired, they didn't renew them. So it's like doubling down on that risk exposure. And they had a deposit base that was very likely to be pulling down additional withdrawals because of the fact that they weren't able to access capital markets. You know, these startups and venture capitalists that, you know, could easily get funding in 2021 as credit tightened in 2022, they weren't able to. So they're going to take their money out of the bank. So you got a lot of withdrawal requests with a bank that's not positioned with adequate liquidity to meet those requests.
Excuse the pun, but I guess they banked on this being transitory, and it was anything but that.
Yeah, I think I think a lot of it too was the, you know, whether it's, you know, we call it whistling past the graveyard or whatever you want, but basically yeah. Well, we've managed to get by okay to this point. I'm sure everything will be fine. And, you know, the world doesn't work that way, right? You've got to have insurance in case the rare event, the unthinkable event, happens. And, you know, just because it doesn't happen doesn't mean you wasted your money on the insurance. They let the insurance policy expire and didn't get a new one.
You know, it's interesting because you mentioned this before, the ninth consecutive time that they raise rates. I mean, it has to be a small minority of folks that are in your, trade that thought that this wasn't going to go down this path, right?
Yeah, the forecasts of recession have been growing, I think, consistently over the last year. And that's because, you know, oftentimes the Fed, you know, the adage is the Fed raises rates until something breaks. History has also shown that, you know, the interest rates go up, it slows the economy, but it's very rarely a soft landing. That oftentimes you do end up with a recession. And with inflation as high as it's been, the highest in 40 years, interest rates had to go up drastically, and they had to go up very quickly as well. And I think that only, you know, enhances the chances that something's going to break. It increases the odds of a recession. And I think that's where we find ourselves today. And unfortunately, inflation's still 6%. So, you know, it's not like we've taken the medicine and we're starting to feel better. We've been taking the medicine, and it's not really started to have the desired effect of getting inflation down.
Some folks have opined that they feel like Chairman Powell may have opened the door to the possibility that this might be the last rate increase for a period of time. Was there something that he said that kind of indicated that?
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily get that read. I think it's more of the, I think what he did acknowledge is that, you know, they're a little more cautious about giving guidance because of the fact that there's just the unknown of the functioning of the banking system. Is there going to be more turmoil there that, in and of itself is a, like an interest rate hike? So, again, maybe the Fed doesn't have to raise rates as high as you know, was once thought, but that doesn't make it a win because if they don't have to raise rates as high as they want, it's because, you know, credit is already contracting at a faster pace because of issues in the banking sector. It's not they don't have to raise rates as high as they thought because inflation has come down a lot faster. Mm-mm, that has not happened. So, it's, you know, either way, credit is going to tighten further, and, you know, there's risk of a broader economic price to be paid as a result of that.
Yeah, it's kind of like on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to hit you at a 10 being the highest, but next time I promise it'll only be an 8 or a 9. It's still going to be
painful,
right?
Yeah, you're not going to hear the 8 or 9. It's still going to hurt.
Thank you so much, Greg McBride, for joining us. We always appreciate the time and the insight. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Noel. You as well.
All righty, folks, that's Greg McBride, Senior VP and Chief Analyst at Bankrate.com. We will be right back, 504-260-1870. Stay with us. Kind of curious if you heard about this story. parents of students at the Elliott K through 8 Innovation School in Boston, Massachusetts, are really up in arms. And they're having a very difficult time understanding why the school would send permission slips home for their kids to go on field trips and to engage in other activities. But they didn't ask for their permission to have a health behavior survey done with 6th grade and 7th grade students. And when they found out what their kids were being asked in this survey, obviously things went awry and off the rails. And I'm going to read these questions to you, and maybe you'll understand, or maybe you won't, but I'd love to hear from you, 504-260-1870. One of the questions in the survey to a 6th grader and 7th graders are the following. Which of the following best describes you? A, heterosexual, straight. B, gay or lesbian. C, bisexual. D, I describe my sexual identity some other way. E, I am not sure about my sexual identity, questioning. F, I do not know what this question is asking. Another question is, a transgender person is someone who does not feel the same inside as the sex they were born with. Are you transgender? A, no, I'm not transgender. B, yes, I am transgender. C, I don't know if I am transgender. D, I don't know what this question is asking. Then there were several questions about sexual intercourse to 6th and 7th graders. Have you ever had sexual intercourse? A, yes. B, no. With how many people have you ever had sexual intercourse? A, I've never had sexual intercourse. B, one person. C, two people. D, three people. E, four people. F, five people. G, six or more people. The next question was, the last time you had sexual intercourse, did you or your partner use a condom? A, I've never had sexual intercourse. B, yes. C, no. The next question is, have you ever participated in oral sex? Oral sex is when a mouth on another person's genitals or private area. A, yes. B, no. Are you getting a flavor for why these parents are upset about not being asked as to whether or not their children should be engaging in this survey that was issued by this school? Some of the students were going home and describing to their parents, we had to answer these really weird questions and start asking their parents what all of this means. I'm not sure that I completely understand what it is that this public school is trying to accomplish by asking these questions. But when we talk about what's been going on in our schools today, this is emblematic of the problems that we have and why you're seeing these bills being passed as it relates to parental rights and whether or not they should have some say-so and whether their children should be queried about this. I don't know about you, but this is not a really weird survey. This is a crazy survey to be asking 6th and 7th graders without the benefit of the parental input. One has to wonder, where are we going in this country? And obviously, these parents are really upset about this, and the kids are confused. There are some parents that are saying they're wondering whether or not they're not normal if they're not feeling these things and or engaging in these activities. And they're having to explain away things that they feel like they shouldn't need to, that they're in a better position to assess the maturity and the capability of their children in understanding these things. As a parent, I'm sure you you reach that crossroads as well in raising your children. You decided when was the best time to have these conversations with your children. And we've all had these conversations with our children. If not, we should, at the appropriate time. But why is it that we believe that a public school system is better suited to decide when this subject matter should be broached? I don't know about you, but things are running amok at a much faster pace than I ever imagined that it would be. And it's going to be interesting to see where this goes from here. In fact, parents are in some of the parents have actually pulled their children out of the district sex education classes over this content. They talk about it being dangerous. They're creating angst and anxiety amongst their children, and they don't like it, and nor should they. It's easy to become a parent. It's hard to be a parent. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. A lot of things we discussed today, a lot of important matters. And if you missed it, you can go to WWL.com, click on audio, then Newell Norman, or you can just rewind. Don't forget, download the Odyssey app and listen to any of the shows that you love on WWL within 24 hours. Rewind or audio on demand. These are great listening options on your desktop, laptop, or mobile device. A lot of folks, are working and can't listen to the radio, and they're not in their car, and there's always an opportunity to hear what any of us have to say. Tommy, myself, Scoot, and others, the sports team, and news shows as well. So keep that in mind. Got a number of texts. In my opinion, no school should talk to grammar school children about sex without the parents' permission. Someone thinks that I said 6 and 7 year olds. No, 6th graders and 7th graders are the ones who participated in this survey. And folks are kind of curious as to why they're doing this. I am too. That's the same question that I have, and why they feel like this is an important exercise for the school to engage in as opposed to parents. And, you know, they're asking you to sign permission slips to go on a field trip, but not asking for permission to start querying your kids about sexual behavior. And not completely understanding, I guess, because of the maturity level of each individual kid and where they are. And obviously, there are huge differences and maybe even a chasm between some students and others. All a number of things to think about, but, the craziness that's going on here never ceases to amaze me. I come across these articles and I just kind of scratch my head and say, where are we going and why? Why is that important? Schools can't read on grade level. We're abysmal in math. We stopped teaching civics, and we're worried about whether or not a 6th or 7th grader identify as being trans. Scoot's up next. He's going to be talking about a rally for decency was led by some top established celebrities condemning the indecent trends in society. That rally was held in 1969. Have things changed? Plus, a study suggests that those bad jokes that your dad always told you may actually have helped you in your child development. Can you think of a bad joke your dad used to always tell? And he's going to be talking about the Louisiana Crawfish Festival that begins in Chalmette as well. Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.